Speck joins us. Speck, how you doing?
Oh, fine day. Friday afternoon.
Oh, nothing better than Fridays. Now, quickly, we do have our bid up to $2,900. Today we got the signed Hall jersey, the party for 15 at the Pint. That's a hell of a party, I can tell you that right now. It's loads of fun. And you get center ice, row 16, Oilers and the Leafs. So we're at $2,900. Somebody out there driving, I know you want a big party for your staff or maybe all your buddies. You want that signed Hall jersey, freshly signed yesterday, and the Oiler Leaf tickets. Let's get it to $3,000 at least, which would be half of what we got for the Nuge exact same package last Friday. All for charity for Santa's Anonymous, so give us a call at 426-8326. Mike has the bid at $2,900, and I know we can get more. Anyways,
you can't even blame the Leafs because they're pretty good now.
That, well, exactly, right? Well, I would suggest this. For Oiler fans who are just proud and don't want any of those loser Leaf fans in the building, that in itself should be reason enough. You're helping Santa's Anonymous. You're getting a party for 15. You're getting a jersey. And you can keep Leaf fans out of the building. That in itself is worth it. And Bruce just came in with $3,250. Attaboy, Bruce.
Is he a Leaf fan?
No, I don't know if Bruce is a Leaf fan.
Better check on that.
That's a good question. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say, I'm pretty sure, no. I've met Bruce before. I'm pretty sure he isn't. But you never know. If he is, then somebody else better outbid him. Speck, what did you think of what Tom Rennie had to say about Alex Hemsky today?
Well, Tom is, I think, in a position with the player where he's probably not going to tell us everything that he feels about him. But he said, you know, maybe Alex has to find a little bit of there's a transition for him into this newer Oilers team. I mean, read that to mean he's not the best player anymore. And maybe he doesn't get all the, you know, maybe the power play doesn't run through him anymore. I think we figured that much out.
Well, the first unit doesn't, that's for sure.
That's right, it runs through the other guy. So, Alex is going to have to, I'm very interested to see if Alex Hemsky can make the transition from being a good player in a bad team to being a good player on a good team. You know, and that's it's easier to be a good player on a bad team because there's a lot of elements you don't have to worry about in terms of expectations. So far, he has disappointed a little bit this year on that regard, I would say.
Oh, he's very much disappointed. You know, you wonder about the hesitation from coming off the injury and everything else. But, you know, I would love it, and I'm just perplexed at all the teams and all the years you've covered the league, Speck, how one of the, you know, no one debates that Hemsky's not one of the most skilled guys we've seen in Edmonton in the last decade. He's probably been the most skilled up until Hall and Eberle and Nugent Hopkins came to town for sure. But do you ever remember him working on his game late in practice ever?
He's the first guy off the ice every single day, right? There's no question about it. He's and not only that, he does not hang around the dressing room. I mean, I can count the interviews I've had with Alex Hemsky. Oh, boy, since that 2006 Cup run, I mean, I can count those interviews on certainly on two hands, if not on one. Mm-hmm. How about you? When's the last time you had a good long chat with Alex Hemsky?
Oh, I have good chats with Hemsky when you can find him, right? And normally, if you ask for him,
that,
you can get him. Well, it's tough to get him for sure. But I'm not even worried about that. I'm just worried about a guy on the ice spending some time, like just maybe even having fun, right? Like you see those guys, they always seem to have their little competitions, right? You would think that Hemsky would be able to dominate in some of those and just want to have fun. You never really see that fun aspect from him. And I wonder if now with all the young kids, if there's just a, you know, if now's the time, maybe change of address might benefit everybody involved.
Well, I mean, for sure. Look, he's in the last year of his deal either way. So the Oilers are facing that decision regardless of how he's playing. They just have to, you know, the decision is nigh. But Alex has always been, you know, hockey always, and the whole process has always been a little bit laborious for Alex. You know, he's never really liked doing interviews at all, and he doesn't really stay out in practice very long. And, you know, the minute the whistle blows and he goes back from wherever he is on the ice to the bench, the body language is always like, oh, this is so hard. And, you know, he's a different cat. I mean, he's highly skilled. He's an Olympic caliber player. I mean, he played for the, you know, when he was healthy, he was a second first line guy for the Czechs. But he's a different guy. He's not, the energy level, I guess, is something that you've always, you know, how brightly is that fire burning in there, Jason? That's, I think, what it boils down to for me.
Yeah, you know what the thing is, though? I could easily see Hemsky go somewhere else and light it up, because sometimes you just need a change, right? I see a lot of people spec in life where, you know, they get into a rut in their job. They've been there for 8 years, and they've been pretty productive, and all of a sudden they go to a new place, and it's like they're reborn. And that would be the concern with Hemsky, because if he the best thing that happens to the Oilers is Hemsky can stay healthy now until the deadline, and if he can put together three consecutive months of being healthy, they'll get a significant return for him. If that doesn't happen, then who knows what happens with him long term with the Edmonton Oilers. But he's obviously not the only problem with that team spec. Their penalty kill needs to be much better. You talked to a lot of the guys in the room today. I think it's fair to say, zero chance they're going to be as bad as they were on Wednesday, probably because it's virtually impossible, but I would expect a much better effort tonight.
Yeah, they'll compete harder tonight, that's for sure. And I would think, well, Habib Boulin's in net, so the history tells us here they're going to get probably pretty good goaltending. And they'll compete harder. They didn't compete nearly enough, and that's, I think, something you don't have to worry about this evening. So, and that's where it starts. You know, you got to compete. You got to come to play, and then at least you give yourself a chance to win. You don't give yourself even an opportunity when you play with the, you know, on simmer the way they played the other night against Carolina. So, you know, there's a few things out there that are cooling down. The goaltending's cooled down. The PK's cooled down. The face-off production has cooled down. And they need someone to help. You know, this is where you need, you know, for instance, last game, Ben Eager and his line came out and had a few good shifts when they needed him. It wasn't enough that night. But that was their way of chipping in, you know, and tonight you do. You need a guy like Alex Hemsky. He needs to have a game, win a game for his team. It would be nice if Ryan Whitney could eventually catch up to the pace here. These are the games where you need someone to carry the ball a little bit and maybe do a little bit more than his share. And, you know, we'll see. They're waiting for a hero, that's for sure. They could use one on this homestand.
Quickly, give me your thoughts on Pierre Gauthier's decision to acquire Thomas Caberle today for Yaroslav Spacek.
Yeah, I have yet to meet the person in the world of hockey who thinks that's a good trade for Montreal. Yeah, I've got a feel of Caberle in the playoffs last year, and he just wasn't very good. There's a guy who got very comfortable in Toronto, you know? There's a guy who got very used to playing for a bad team and being a good player on that bad team, and everyone in Toronto loved Caberle, and they all said how great he was, and they did get a nice return for him at the deadline from Boston, right?
Yep.
Ryan Burke made a nice deal there, and he's never been anything. He's not been a good player since he left Toronto, so he in many ways is a bit of a comparable with Alex Hemsky, even from the same country.
Well, it's interesting, you know, when I look at that deal and Spacek. Like what a trade by Jim Rutherford. He gets rid of a guy who's got 2 years left on his deal. Spacek's, you know, only got 1 year left. And he's about a 2.5 cap hit the remainder of the way for the Hurricanes. That is a hell of a trade by Jimmy Rutherford, who at least was honest enough to admit he made a mistake by signing Caberle in the first place.
Well, you might as well admit it, because you just traded him 30 games into a three-year contract. So you can admit it or not admit it. It's pretty clear you realize you made a mistake. I can't credit him. I credit him for having the guts and the swallowing his pride and making this deal for the better of the team. Some GMs hang on to that player that they signed just so you can't say that they made a bad deal. Jimmy looked himself in the mirror and said, "I made a bad deal, but I got a chance to get out of it. Let's go."
Oh,
right.
Two wrongs never make a right. You got to swallow your pride, and I'll tell you right now, this all of a sudden looks like a great deal. It's essentially signed Spacek to a one-year deal, and who cares what happens there? Kirk Muller had him in Montreal, knows him, so probably gave him a little bit of a review as far as his personality goes, so we'll see. Spec, we'll see you down at the rink tonight.
Okay, have some fun at the pint before you get there.
Oh, always do.